Anyone receives revelation in the Word of God, it sometimes conflicts with what he has previously been taught. This causes you to have to deal with old traditions or wrong teaching. These tapes may contain some new light from God's Word, and it may be opposed to some traditions you have previously learned. Therefore, follow through these messages in your Bible, in sequence, in order that you may be able to make a change.
Ezekiel 7. Now, folks, we're going to take up right where we left off last night. I'm going to try to use a lot of the Word. I try to say as little as possible. And let the Word explain itself. And that's very easy if you were here last night to see where we're going, because we're talking about the judgment of the very last days. We're talking about the flood and the fire that's sweeping away. And there is a people. I'm telling you that, and I'm just remind you, the whole bunch has been asleep, all of us. We're waking up. We're in the process of waking up. And we're going to be alert, but the foolish virgins will not come to light because they hold to traditions. They do not hold to the testimony of Jesus. And their traditions do not obey the commandments of God. And this is what we're going to see in Revelation. And we're going to see that they're destroyed, and this is what Revelation is about. It's about the bride, and it's all about the judgment of everyone else who's not the bride, particularly the harlot church. Now, in Ezekiel 7, verse 3, listen very closely. Now the end is upon you. I shall send my anger against you. Who is the Lord's anger and wrath? Satan, the powers of darkness. I shall judge you according to your ways. I shall bring all your abominations upon you. For my eye will have no pity on you, nor shall I spare you. Now, what we're talking about is the very last days right here. But I shall bring your ways upon you, and your abominations will be among you. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Verse 8. Now I will shortly pour out my wrath on you. This is what we've been seeing. And spend my anger against you. And here's what the law does. Judge you according to your ways and bring on you all your abominations. And what did we see about the harlot church, Babylon? We saw in Revelation 18 that the Lord said there about the judgment on the harlot. He said, to the degree that she's glorified herself and lives sensuously, to the same degree, give her torment and mourning. And so, by your deeds, this is what God brings on you in the ways of selfishness and flesh. And my eye, verse 9, will show no pity, nor will I spare. I will repay you, now circle this, according to your ways. In other words, according to your ways, that's what's going to receive. If you're walking in love and obedience, then you're going to receive blessings. If you walk in selfishness and rebellion, then you're going to receive the powers of darkness and the wrath and anger that's coming upon you. Verse 14. They have blown the trumpet. Has the trumpet been blowing, folks? It's trumpet. But the trumpet's blowing and the warning's coming. And they've blown the trumpet and made everything ready, but no one is going to battle. You know what? You know what people look for? I was talking to someone today. You know what they look for when they sit in a congregation? They want to be at ease. So they'll listen to judgment. They will listen all the same, but when you give them an option, you know what flesh is going to go? It's going to run to that option. It's going to run to the Word. Because flesh wants to be at ease in Zion. Flesh likes for you to give him option. Likes to tell you how God, somebody read the Word of God and tell you how that you're supposed to, you know, how to become a disciple. And then when they finish it there, they give you your option. Of course, God knows you can't do it. Just be willing to. Of course, that scripture's not in the Bible. They blowed the trumpet and made everything ready, and no one is going to battle. They're not standing against the flesh and the powers of darkness and overcoming. So my wrath, that's the judgment of God, is against all their congregation, all their multitude. Now this is what's destroying Babylon in verse 15. The sword, that's a curse outside, and the plague and the famine. You remember that's what we saw? And the plague will also consume those who are in the city. Verse 17. All hands will hang limp, and all knees will become like water. The very opposite of that we saw in Hebrews 12 is receive discipline and reproof, and then the limb that's been put, make it pass straight, and then the limbs what put out of joint is going to be healed. And that's what the remnant is going to do. Now verse 22. I shall also turn my face from them. In other words, the presence of God gone. They'll profane my secret place. Where's the secret place right here? The temple. And then robbers will enter and profane it. Do you have any idea who these thieves and robbers are? It's the powers of darkness. Now in verse 24. Now watch what the Lord does. He's lowering the hedge. Therefore, I shall bring the worst of the nations, the powers of darkness, and they will possess their houses. Is this plain? And this is what's happening and been happening. I shall also make the pride of the strong ones cease. When you love pride, when you're walking after pride, you're not going to humble yourself and end the war. And their holy places, the holy places, this is the sanctuary, are going to be profaned. Do you see that? Because the abomination and the judgment of the law has lowered the hedge, and their ways are brought upon them. Amen? By your deeds, by your standard of measure, it's going to be measured to you. Now in verse 25, when anger comes, they will seek peace, but there will be none. They're going to fight, trying to find peace, find a way to get away from it, but it's not going to happen. Disaster will come upon disaster, but here it is, right here. Here's today, right now. The law will be lost. Let me say it again. The law will be lost. Tell me something, folks. Has the law been lost from the pulpit today? The law is what proclaims the judgment of God. The wrath, the curse. The law has not been done away with. The law has been lost as it was in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. All right, now. They'll seek a vision from a prophet because disaster is and disaster is all over the place. They're going to seek a vision from a prophet, but the law will be lost. From the priest, and counsel from the elders. The king will mourn. That's the lords. The fleshly kings will mourn. And the prince, the leaders, will be clothed with horror. Circle that clothed with horror. You know what that clothed with horror is? That's a curse. A good example of that, you read a Psalm 109, you see how a curse just comes and just you just put it on like a garment. When you stand against the people of God and God's anointing and speak against them, you watch what comes to you. Enter into your bones like water, like oil. And you'll clothe it. You'll wear a curse when you stand against and speak against the work of God and the anointing of God. Of course, when people, the law has been lost to people, they just let their gossip maliciously. They gossip to tear down and destroy, and not knowing that by their ways it comes right back on. Everything they're speaking against someone. I had someone to encounter with someone this week, and it was a pretension of being one thing, and it turned out to be something else. And if I had not had the understanding and discernment that the Lord had showed me, this man who was thinking he was doing a good thing was used with some people in malicious gossip, would have come and brought judgment, condemnation. And he would shut down this ministry right here, right in the middle of the thing, if I hadn't already had the discernment from the Lord to see what was happening. But instead of being angry or hitting back, I loved that person. And quite frankly, his motives were, as best he knew, was really true. He did it in good, just come to say some things and that he did it in good faith, but he brought some things, and he's trying to load my wagon for me, I'll tell you for sure. He had about a half a block of demons with him when he come there, you know, and they were going to be deposited on me. It was a scheme of the devil. Those things done loaded on me. And if I hadn't known how to handle that thing, folks, I tell you what, it'd been something else to try to stand up here and minister if I hadn't had the discernment to see what it was. But if I had had unforgiveness toward that place, and then after the person does this, if the enemy tries to attack your mind with unforgiveness to and all of these things, and judge that person and condemn and all these things, and then when you judge him and condemn him, all those things that came with him get to come on you, because they find curse doesn't light without a cause, and a judgment and everything would have come. I'm telling you, there's a whole lot going on in this spiritual realm, folks, that we've got to learn about yet. Isn't that right, Pastor? And now, so they seek a vision from a prophet. And I want you to circle, the law will be lost about four times. It's going to be lost from the priest. It's going to the council from the elders. And the fleshy king will mourn. The princes will be clothed with horror. There's the curse. And the hands of the people land are going to be trembled in fear. And here he measures to them according to their conduct. I shall deal with them, and by their judgments I shall judge them, and they will know that I'm the Lord. And folks, what do you plainly see that God deals with judgments? He deals with the judgment, but turning the powers of darkness loose to come in there, the abomination that makes desolation. And that's the judgment he has. How could you see it any plainer? This is the very last days. And people have believed that bitterness is sour is sweet. They believe that darkness is light, and they won't even know the difference. When the powers of darkness get ground to move in, you become wise in your own eyes. You become a fool, really. And then in Ezekiel 9, watch very closely. Let's begin in verse 4. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city. I'm going to start in verse 3. Then the glory of the God of Israel went up from the cherub on which it had been to the threshold of the temple, and he called to the man clothed in linen whose loins was the writing case. And here's what he said. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, even through the midst of Jerusalem. Now, you know we're talking about the church. Put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and groan over all the abominations which are being committed in its midst. Do you remember, folks, when he's talking about false teaching over in 2 Peter 2, do you remember that it was talking about the flood and the fire? It was talking about in 2 Peter 5, let me just tell you about it, that He's talking about false teachers. He didn't spare the angels of sin. He didn't spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, who was a preacher of righteousness, when he brought a flood. And then there was a flood, which is an example for false teaching today. And then he talked about the fire. And he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example of those who would live ungodly thereafter. And then he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men. And listen very closely. For by what he, Lot, saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day with their lawless deeds. Now that's the ones who are going to receive the mark of God today. They see these abominations around them, and they love God, and it pains them, it grieves them. Are you understand? They're lawless deeds. Now, I want you to see, let's read this again in verse 4. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, even through the midst of Jerusalem. We're going to be in a revelation to look at this. And put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and groan over all the abomination, our lawless deeds, which are being committed in its midst. But to the others who are living and walking in this, he said in my hearing, go through the city after him, and what does it say? Strike, because they're going to have the mark of the beast. Strike. This is who the hedge is lowered down on. Do not let your eye have pity. Do not spare. Utterly slay, O men. Slay the young men. slay the maidens, slay the little children, slay the women. See, if I could just take off right here and just all this and just go through the Word and show you these different things like this, you know, it's just, we're going to have to start doing it like they did in the day of Paul, is stay there for days, all day long, until we get the things, you know, taught. But this is what I'm telling you, that's today. This is going on. But it's not going into any degree. You know, the door to the ark is open right now. But do not touch any man on whom is the what? The mark right there, who is groaning and sighing over all the abominations being committed in the church, lawless deeds. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you shall start from where? The house of God, my sanctuary. So they started with the elders who were among, were before the temple. Did you ever hear of hireling's disease? You hear of all these different diseases and things and AIDS and all these different things, folks. That's just a forerunner. They're gonna be diseases in church like it's never, and it's gonna be so obvious. I mean, God's wrath. When you know what God's wrath means, He's mad. All right, if that's the correct word, that's what we call it in Benton. And verse 7, and he said to them, defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. Folks, we hadn't seen nothing yet. Go out. Thus they went out and struck down the people in the city. Do you know in 1 Thessalonians 5, we're supposed to know these things are going to happen. It's a veil in front of other people's face that will not come to this Word of God, that's not going to even see this and know it, and it's going on in their midst. And then when they keep resisting God after they hear the true gospel, which is being preached, and when they resist that, brother, their accountability is just lowered the hedge on them. They choose their traditions that do not hold the testimony of Jesus or the commandments of God. By their deeds, it's going to come on them. Verse 8, then it came about as they were striking, and so just so you know what it's going to be like, and I alone was left that I fell on my face and cried out, saying, alas, Lord God, art thou destroying the whole remnant of Israel? And here it is. By pouring out thy wrath, let me say it another way, by pouring out thy flood, or drowning them in the sea of violence on Jerusalem. Then he said to me, the iniquity of the house of Israel, and we're supposed to be the house of Israel, and Judah is very, very great, and the land was filled with blood, shedding the blood of the righteous, with the perverting the word of God, and the city, the church, is full of perversion, for they say the Lord has forsaken the land, and the Lord does not see their motives. They're blind, spiritually blind. But as for me, my eye will have no pity, nor shall I spare. I shall bring their conduct upon their heads. In other words, by their standard of measure, it's measured to them. Then behold, the man clothed in linen, at whose loins was a writing case reporting, saying, I've done just as thou hast commanded. Now, if you want to have another look at them, turn over in Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel 47. We'll see this harlot falling away from the faith, church. You know, I meant to say Isaiah 47. I thought, dear me. I'm sorry. In Isaiah 47, now let's see what he's saying to Babylon now. We're going to look at Babylon, and then we're going to look at the mark of the beast. Isaiah 47. I should start back in Isaiah 46. But you just need to make yourself a note to go back there when you come there again to study this, to use Isaiah 46. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon, sit on the ground without a throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you shall no longer be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Make your own bread. Remove your veil. Strip off your skirt, harlot. Uncover the leg. Cross the rivers. Your nakedness, lostness, will be uncovered, exposed. Your shame also will be exposed. It's happening today. I will take vengeance and will not spare a man. Our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is His name, the Holy One of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. Sit silently and go into darkness, spiritual darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you will no more be called the Queen of the Kingdoms, or in other words, the Church. Verse 7, yet you said, I shall be a queen forever, saying it in her heart. That's what we saw in Revelation 18. These things you did not consider, nor remember the outcome of them. Now then, hear this, you sensual one, who dwells securely with a false security, who says in your heart, I am, and there's no one beside me. Is that what we saw in Zephaniah last night? Zephaniah 2:15, and she's a dwelling place of the beast. Is that right? The beast or the powers of darkness? I am, there's no one besides me. I shall not sit as a widow. In other words, I can't be lost. Nor shall I know the loss of children. In other words, no curse or no calamity can come upon me. But these two things shall come on you suddenly in one day. And that is what we're reading about last night and today. Loss of children and widowhood, lostness, nakedness. They shall come upon you in full measure in spite of your many sorceries. You know the sorceries that they shed the blood of the earth through her sorceries. In spite of the great power of your spells, it's witchcraft and divination and false signs and wonders. And you felt secure in your wickedness and said, no one sees me. In other words, just blind to the fact that God sees all sin. Sees no judgment. In other words, God doesn't see me. No judgment can come on me. See, you don't have the fear of God. Your wisdom and your knowledge, traditions, they've deluded you. For you have said in your heart, I am, and there's no one besides me. But evil will come on you, which you'll not know how to charm away. And disaster will fall on you, of which you cannot atone, and destruction. We saw it coming on the one who stand peace and safety in 1 Thessalonians 5. For which you cannot atone, and destruction about which you do not know. You don't even know about it. It's going to burn you and you'll not even pay any attention. Underline destruction. And it's going to come on you suddenly. And then what did we read now in Matthew 24? It's going to come on you and you don't know what hour it is going to come upon you. Amen? Now turn with me to Luke 17. Luke 17. Now we've been talking about the flood, we've been talking about the fire, and we're talking about the last days, and I'm telling you, Jesus is coming in destruction. And it's going to come in a fire and a flood. They're not going to be understanding about this fire and the flood except those who have wise hearts. They are the wise virgins. And they are going to wake up and hear, learn the fear of God. They will come to that light that's shining in Jerusalem. And then, as we read in 1 Thessalonians 5, you brethren know that this day is going to come upon you. The brethren are going to know. The brethren are going to know that those who teach peace and safety, that destruction is coming up on them, that they're asleep, but we're not going to sleep as they do, but we'll be alert and have the weapons in Ephesians 6. Did we see that in the Word of God in 1 Thessalonians 5? But we're going to know these things are coming up, and we're talking about this fire. It's going to destroy all evildoers from the land, all who commit lawlessness, all stumbling blocks which Babylon and the whore harlot church is, so will not preach the whole counsel of God's word. And in the midst of those, there are going to be a people who learn the fear of God. They learn the fear of God because they're learning what we're reading here right now. They learn the reality of it, and the Lord's quickening their heart. And they're the wise virgin that come to the Lord the whole heart, because if you're not come to the whole heart, you've dropped out a day or two back. You're not going to sit this long if you don't have a heart for the Lord and listen to the Word of God. You're not going to do it. And the wise virgins are going to know the truth. And they're going to fear the God, and the ones that fear the God are ones going to obey Him. And in the midst of a hell and destruction, they're going to skip around like cats in a stall. And there's going to be a harlot, a people. And they try to block every people. They condemn and scoff. You haven't seen nothing yet. It's some kind of little rejection or whatever they are about what I'm saying. We haven't seen nothing. And they're going to be such mocking and scoffing. The one same one that's going to mock and scoff are going to come down to lick the dust right off your feet. And they're going to come to want oil. And they want to come and hold on to you. Because they'll know what's on them's not on you. And the day that that happens, the door has been shut to the ark. And they'll knock to get in that door to the ark. But the door's been shut. Noah built an ark for years and years. And if I had time, I'd like to go through and show you all the things, all the thoughts of their heart was evil. This is what the bulb burned out in the overhead. But see, all their thoughts are evil. It says all the thoughts of their heart was evil. When the thoughts of your heart are evil, you know what happens? You're going to speak in the ways of Satan. Amen? Right? So all their thoughts were evil, and God said, only you, Noah, a preacher of righteousness, have I seen to be righteous. Now, I'm going to tell you what, over there is one of those overheads. You've seen them. Over here is life and death. Watch me. Let me get over here so I can see. And that flood, folks, he said, never again will the world be destroyed by a flood of water. And it rained, folks, and for 40 days, and the flood came, and it destroyed everyone except was in the ark. Now, do you remember us looking at the scripture in Matthew 7, how that when you have two foundations that people stand in? We'd already seen many are going to say, Lord, Lord. And one we'd already talking about, you can be led to bear the wrong fruit. And that's not the will of God. Fruit is lawlessness, the fruit of the flesh. But if you bear the good fruit, you're doing the will of God. That is the will of God, sanctification, to have a pure heart. Now, and didn't just say, try to be like Jesus. No, you will be like Jesus. It's not, the gospel didn't say, try to be like Jesus. No, you'll start with an experience right here. You receive the Spirit of God. But that's not salvation. Is that plain? That's part of it. And that Spirit was given to you as a pledge, and then you're in a walk. And if you fall down, you get back up again, because it's a walk of peace, because you don't have to check and see if you've been saved. It's people who mutter a prayer and go through some form. They know that in their hearts there's something wrong with it. They're the ones that doubt their salvation. But anyone that has a real, and you're on the front end, you won't have an experience on the very front end right there unless you repent with a whole heart. You might have some kind of emotional spirit, but you won't have the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God will come in you, and I want you to know the Spirit of God can leave you. Let me say it over here. We taught that. Fall away got in the Bible because you can fall away.
Now, see, when you know you can fall away, then that kind of increases a little bit of the fear of God. But you start with an experience. And it's not as if to go possess the land as a way it works. When I say possess the land, you can't possess the land. It's Jesus through you that's going to go possess that land. But you have to be obedient. And when you're not obedient, the Spirit of God's there. When you don't control, then you're going to let your heart go off to other things right here. You're going to love more than the Lord. That is a falling away. Now, as long and you let your heart become hardened over here where you can't come back in and to go in, the goal of the instructor, purify your heart to be perfected in love, Jesus come to fulfill the law in you. And when you get off the trail over here and you turn away, it's just like a dog returning to its vomit. So all of us are going to stumble. Isn't that right? We all stumble. I mean, but we're not going to walk in it. We learn. But if you're not receiving reproof and discipline to be perfected in love, Hebrews 12, you're not a child of God. Let me say it one more time. You are not a child of God. Because that goal is that you're going to be walk in holiness. And holy is to have a nature of God. And so, what does the Word say in Hebrews 12:14? Pursue peace. How do you pursue peace? Follow the Spirit of God. And if I'm over here somewhere, I don't have peace. I don't have to ask somebody when I don't have peace or what I do. I'm going to repent and I'm going to come back. I'm going to repent and have there's something wrong with me and I'm going to get it put on the blood. When I put it on the blood, I'm no longer a lawbreaker and the powers of darkness have to butt out. I have peace again. Amen. And then, when I'm walking to peace, don't you think I'm going to have to go ask somebody if I might be saved or not? Huh? You think if I'm getting blessed, coming and going, I'm going to ask someone, am I saved? The thing to do is when you're cursed, coming and going, say, where is he? What did I do? Just like Paul said to the Galatians there, you started out in the Spirit, and now you're being perfected in the flesh. He said, I thought I told him in vain. I wasted my labors on you. But he said, I'm again in labor to you until Christ is formed in you. Jesus come here to show us what a son walked like, so we'll love like he loved. Amen? So when I'm talking about going and possess the land, don't you think I'm talking about works? That's what we've been programmed to call obedience. Listen, these old traditional demons, you can get a demon in seminary. All you have to do is receive a lie there and you've got one in you. It's not on your shoulder. And any time that the truth ever comes up, that demon will come up and are you hearing me?
I come all the way down here and forgot what I was going to say, Bob. I think of it, I'm coming back down there. Where was I? Huh? The words of what? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what it was. All right, now listen. When they hear the part of the gospel, someone who walks in these traditions, and they hear that tells us about being obedient to the Lord. See, somebody's your Lord, they control your life, don't they? And it's contrary to these rotten traditions that do not hold to the testimony of Jesus or obey the commandments of God. These powers of darkness that send people immediately want to say, works! Works! And see, it works when you've been obeying the commandments again of men, this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's what works in legalism is. You're trying to build a tower into heaven. You say, God, you're obligated to receive me the way I want to come.
And it's not in holiness and righteousness, it's not in obedience. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is why I'm having a hard time. I've been having a hard time because I hadn't been making these emphases and everything about the walk. This is where I've been missing. This is why some people haven't been understanding what I'm saying. This is the reason they've been thinking some of these things I've been saying is legalism. They said, think it put you under law. Dear God, they already under the judgment of law. That's reading the demons are all over them. It's on the whole bunch. This is what we're coming out from. This is where these misleading oracles and all these traditions have brought us to, and it's brought us kings and princes and everything when we've not been getting to the king because he hadn't been controlling life. What we're coming to right now, he's going to control our life, and we're learning the fear of God here. If you don't control it, you're going to be destroyed with it and go to hell. Now, that's just the God. Hey, folks, love is not love if you don't say what God says. That's flesh compassion. I've said before, anybody can go to the electric chair and have a little flesh compassion, can't they? Huh? This compassion, well, let's just love him. God said, put him out. Amen? Okay. Now, in Luke 17, look there in verse 26. And just as it happened, I want you to circle, just as it happened in the days of Noah. You make sure that's marked in your Bible and make yourself a note right there that you're in the New Testament. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, it shall be also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were marrying, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered ark, and then what came and destroyed them? A flood came to destroy them, and we know a spiritual flood comes and destroys us today. Isn't that right? The floods of the temptations of the powers of darkness, the demons of greed and anger, jealousy, pride, unforgiveness, they come with these flood of words to people's minds who are walking in traditions, and because people still love this selfish nature, they'll receive all these works and bear the fruit that breaks God's laws rather than holding to the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the flood. And when they do it, the hedge is down, which brings God's wrath and anger, which are the Satan and the powers of darkness, and he lets the birds just come in and devour them. Right? So, and verse 28. I want you to mark that. It's also the same that happened in the days of Lot. Have you noticed that these two things are in Jude and in 2 Peter 2, where at both places it's talking about false teachers and people walking after works, the ways of Cain, and turning the grace of our God into licentiousness, a license to sin? It goes ahead and explains about the flood and... It was the same that happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking. It's just business as usual. God doesn't see. They were buying, they were selling, all the planning, and then they were doing a lot of building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire. It rained fire. There's the fire and the flood. Circle that rain, fire, and brimstone from heaven, and it destroyed them all. Now, did both of your verses in verse 27 and verse 29 say that they're going to be destroyed by the fire and the flood? Amen? I want you to watch now. Verse 30, it will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. Now, look with me in verse 33. Whoever seeks to keep his what kind of life? Look, folks, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we do not love this fleshly life even to death. Because whoever loves this fleshly life, he won't give up the nature of Satan. And this is going to be a way of life which breaks God's law and lawlessness. Whoever seeks to keep his fleshly life, what does it say he's going to do? Who's going to lose it? How do you think he's going to lose it? Just what you just read. He's going to be destroyed by the flood and the fire. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Shake your head. All right? And whoever loses his life, that means give up your fleshly life. You have to lay down your life and to fulfill the commandments of Jesus, which says that we'll love one another as Christ has loved us. Amen? And then when we love one another as Christ has loved us, we have a divine nature which fulfills God's law. Amen. And then the gospel, that is this walk, folks. It fulfills God's law. This walk right here, when you come in, you go in, and when I'm talking about possessing the land, that was a type of it back in the Old Testament. But the goal of this instruction right here, the prize that you're going to be, is conformed to the image of Jesus unless you have a doctrine that does not conform you to godliness. And you're going to go forward. And you're going to endure to the end. You hear what? And you will overcome. And if you overcome, you're going to sit on that throne. And don't make so, we've made something so complicated out of this gospel right here. It's a simplicity and a purity of devotion of Christ. I'm telling you, folks, people don't sit around and wonder if I'm going to make it. You will make it because faithful He has called you and faithful He is going to bring it past. You will make it. Amen? But while you're making it, you're going to learn something about the walk of peace, and you will also understand that hell and judgment is waiting on you over here. If you don't guard your mouth, if you don't guard your heart, and if you ever turn away from the Lord, amen. All right, see, so the Lord has not made it for the more intellect. He's no respecter in purpose. I mean, every person. It doesn't matter. But no man has to run to another to go make it. He's going to make it. But two things. Number one, he won't make it if he doesn't love the Lord with all his heart. And then when he loves the Lord with all his heart, he will, second thing, he will be obedient. Now that's it, those two things. The Spirit of God will tell you what to do. He's always show you what to do. He leads you in all truth. But you're going to do it. You're not going to be hardened heart. You're going to obey. See, if somebody's your Lord, you do what they say. So He always knows what to tell you to do. And you're going to, that's the perseverance of the saints. You're going to endure and you're going to overcome. You're going to suffer. Jesus came here an example. But you know what happened, folks? That's where the glory is. It's so far removed from the fleshly mind. James 1 said it counted all joy when these trials come upon you. See, that's where you're perfected because, see, you have suffered your love relationship with the Lord. This is what He's leading us into, that when we suffer, we count it joy, just like the disciples did, that we're counted worthy to suffer, that the grace of God could let us even know enough that we prove we love God more than anything else. Glory be to God forevermore. That's good. And I'm telling you, He's leading us in these things. And He's leading them for people. I want to tell you something very plainly, that all that your strength is going to come from that Word of God. Don't get in some religious exercise because all the power is going to come out of this Word. Amen? I didn't say all the power. The power is going to come to you because you're in the Word. Amen? Okay. Now, whoever seeks to keep his life, verse 33, shall lose it. Whoever loses his life shall preserve it. I tell you, on that night there shall be two men in one bed, one to be taken, the other going to be left. Now, that's not rapture. Can I tell you what that is? That's destruction, the flood and the fire. A lot of people call that rapture. This doesn't fit in the doctrines. Verse 35. There'll be two women grinding at the same place, one to be taken, the other be left. I mean, they're going to get to be in on the supper of God. If you don't eat at the marriage supper of the realm you saw last night with you, you get ate. You're going to see it again tonight. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken. Taken by the flood and the fire, and the other be left. And as they said to him, where, Lord? Where, Lord? They are all he's taken to. And he said to them, where the body is. You remember we saw in Revelation 3:1, where the body is, the dead body is. There also is going to be the what? I can't hear you. The vultures, those birds out of mid-heaven, are going to gather. That's where they're going to gather. They gather on the spiritually dead, the babbling like we were talking about and seeing there. And let me just quickly read something because we'll. I just want to refresh your memory. You don't have to turn to it. I'm just going to read it. And then we know this is a coming of the Lord Jesus Christ there, and He's going to be on a horse called Faithful. And verse 15, from His mouth comes a
sharp sword to smite the nations. He's going to tread the winepress to pierce the wrath of God. And I already showed you in Zephaniah 1 how he treads the winepress to lower the hedge and the power of the darkness move in to destroy. And then it said, and I saw an angel standing in the sun. He cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds which fly in mid-heaven. Let me tell you another way that all the vultures which fly in mid-heaven, the birds of prey, come assemble for the great supper of God. Now, when I show you Babylon right here, boy, that's just going to... I mean, folks, you're going to get your eyes open about that much today. And they're going to eat the flesh of kings. And you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of commanders, the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and all the things that I showed you there before. Okay, now, I want you to turn with me to Jeremiah 50. Jeremiah 50. I'm telling you what, Pastor, when I get around the people that I see is excited about this word, and what little I know about this word right here, I just can't hardly stand it. I mean, I'm telling you what, this is one of the most fulfilling things to me in the world is right now to see them, people loving Jesus. Jeremiah 50. Jeremiah 50, verse 2. Is everybody Jeremiah? Jeremiah 2, verse 50. Declare and proclaim among the nations. Proclaim it and lift up a standard. I mean, hold the Word of God up there and proclaim it. And look here. Here it is. Here's what it is. And here's what we're proclaiming and what you're hearing right now. Do not conceal it, but say, Babylon has been captured. I want to ask you, is that what we've been saying? We've been saying it. Babylon's been captured. Now, I want you to know Babylon's a whore harlot church, and there's another church. That's a harlot church. The real church is called Zion. Amen? It's the holy mountain of God. You know who's... It's a heavenly Jerusalem. It's the Israel of God. You know who sits on the throne? You know where the throne of Jesus is? It's that church of Zion, the real Zion, not a fallen away Zion. Now look in verse 3. For the nation has come up against her out of the north. That's them. And it will make her land an object of horror. That's the powers of darkness that we've been talking about. Now in verse 4. In those days, and at that time, declares the Lord, the sons of Israel, now here they are, they're going to be coming out of Babylon. The sons of Israel will come, both they and the sons of Judah, as well, and they will go along weeping. I want you to mark that there and circle that they will go along weeping, and I want you to write repentance right there. They're coming in weeping, and this is what people are doing. They're coming out of Babylon, and they're weeping as they go, and it'll be the Lord, the God that they seek. They are the wise virgins. Now watch very closely how this ties together. They will ask for the way to Zion. They're asking for the highway of holiness. They are leaving out of Babylon. They're turning their faces in what direction? Listen, folks, listen to me right here. Don't talk to me, and if you miss something, you know, I won't say nothing. But I want to just be sure you hear me right here, because, I get used to these things, and it's so simple to me, and I kind of get you to respond, because I'm just wanting to... You know, I can tell how the way you respond and everything, I can just tell if you will respond. I can tell how the Spirit, I go by that and how the Spirit is just really, and you know whether I need to spend more time or something. That's the reason I ask, because I'm up here, want you to get it so bad I'm about to fall off this stage. Amen? Okay, now. They're coming out of Babylon and they're weeping. And look at verse 5. They will ask for the way to Zion. They're coming out of Babylon. They ask for Zion. They're turning to the Lord. It's God they seek. And they turning their faces, marked faces, they're asking for the way to Zion, and they turning their faces in its direction. In its direction means they're turning their faces towards Zion, which means, look at me, they turning their back to Babylon. They turning their back to Babylon, and they're going along weeping. They're seeking the Lord. Glory be to God. That's my people come out from her midst. Amen? And they will come, and they will, what they going to do? Those two words. I can't hear you. They will join themselves to who? I can't hear you. Glory be to God. What have they been joined to? They've been joined unevenly yoked to lawlessness.
And they're going to join themselves to the Lord, and it's going to be in an everlasting covenant that will not be forgotten, because my people have become what? Lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. Let me say that again. Their shepherds have led them astray. They made them turn aside on the mountains. They've gone along from the mountain hills. They have forgot their what? Look at me, folks. They've forgotten their resting place. Now, when someone tells you that you can have... See, look here is your start... Everybody look at me. Right here is your starting point right here. Right here is where a change takes place in your life. You receive the Spirit of God, and buddy, you don't have to have nobody to know that you received it right here. But that's just part of it. Do you understand that? You don't go walk over here and say, now I've had my experience here. Come on, devil. Let's go practice lawlessness. No, you don't do it. Because if you do it, you're going to fall away from the faith and you're going to be destroyed. But this is what the shepherds will lead people and get. Look here. They will have this experience to receive the Spirit of God. And then people are really walking. Look at me. They're walking with their first love. Amen? And they get out here in the midst of this teaching right here. And then this false teaching will get them to look back here for their security instead of looking over here for their security, where they have the pure heart and perfected in love to fulfill God's law. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And see, they want to make issues here. Well, what if I die right here after I do it? And see, you hear all kind of theology come in here. It's not in the Scriptures. And they want to have all controversies about the Word of God because they want to support doctrines that do not conform you to godliness, and they make people's mind wonder, and they mix a little reason and a little fleshly logic with it, and you get another kind of Jesus and another gospel. So the false teacher will have you to find your security back here when you first received the Spirit of God, and then you don't have to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand? Then you're led astray, and you don't have any rest in place because you're taught that you don't have to walk in peace. But your Bible says you're going to pursue peace and the sanctification without which no one's going to see the Lord. Now, if anyone has worry or fear that they're not going to be sanctified or not trusting the Lord, you might as well stop eating pork and a whole bunch of stuff like that. Stand out in the rain naked. The reason I said that is because, you know, not to be smart. I wish I hadn't said it. You ever say something, wish you hadn't said it? The reason I said that because there's a fellow that he loved the Lord so much. And he actually did. He didn't know how to put to death the deeds of the flesh. And he actually stood out. It wasn't in the rain, but he stood out until the police came. And I'm having to take his time to explain. I'm going to learn about my own mouth. But he stood out there until police came and arrested him and everything. But now he did this from a sincere heart. He's doing everything he could to put to death the deeds of the flesh. Yeah, here's how you put to death the deeds of the flesh. Don't speak a word against your brother. And then I'm going to tell you, don't speak against him. And I'm going to tell you something right there and everything, you'll die. I'll guarantee you that's where the Lord puts where you put to death the deeds of the flesh. But are you seeing to find your security back here with your experience? You can go through and God can give you the pledge of the Spirit. In other words, God, you've made covenants. You've come with the Lord the whole heart. You said, Lord, I come to you with all my heart. I don't know what all's wrong with me, but I know one thing. I want to be like you. I repent from the ways of Satan. I repent. I turn. I have a change of heart. I don't want to walk that way. I want to live my life to please you. I want to make covenant with you right now, Lord. And you know what? He gives you the Spirit as a pledge right there. And you go through baptism to show that you've just turned from the earth and the world and the sins of the flesh. That's what baptism is about. And that. And so then you began to walk. And you made it. You see, Satan was your master when you walked after these deeds of the flesh, because the powers of darkness are just controlling your life. When you love yourself and that selfish nature, they can put unforgiveness in your mind, and you just receive it. You welcome it.
They can put anger in your mind, and you'll just welcome it. They'll put grumbling in your mind, you just welcome it. You're welcome. But see, you're repenting from all this, and now you're walking in love. Now when he put these things in your mind, you suffer in the flesh, and you cease from sin, because now you have a new master, and you love him with all your heart. Amen? Now, if he's your master, do you do what he says he does? I can't hear you. That's what the Spirit of God came in there. He's leading you to be perfected and to overcome. The Spirit of God leads you to put to death the deeds of the body. And all who are sons of God to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, you see this? So then you get over here somewhere and you get to thinking, well, I kind of fell down right over here and everything, and I was there for about 6 months and so forth like that. And then you get a little more light, and then the power duct is put in your mind right there. Yeah, but if I was back there, right there, well, I would have been saved. So then you change the gospel. You change the gospel. See, there's some times that we're going to find out and know exactly when you're saved and when you're not saved, but in the meantime, he says about peace and the sanctification, you're not going to see the Lord. And see, it's no complicated thing. It's no complicated thing to love the Lord unless you want to love idols too. Our approval of folks. Or make it real complicated. See, men have had all these doctrines. They have changed the Bible all over the place where you can't understand it. And so now, let's go back to simplicity and the purity of devotion to Christ. Amen? And the Lord Jesus Christ, his Spirit will take the very least of us and give us the wisdom of God. And you don't have to bow to Mr. Intellect. You don't have to bow to Mr. Hermeneutics. You don't have to bow to no one except Jesus. And you won't be going to the hospital. Now, verse 6, my people have become lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They made them turn aside on the mountains. They have gone along from the mountain to heel. They've forgotten their resting place. All who came upon them have what? They have devoured them. And their adversaries have said, we are not guilty inasmuch as they have sinned against the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you sin against the Lord, the powers of darkness judge sin. Habakkuk 1, that's when they get their ground. When you break God's law, Paul said, how do I know sin until I saw the law? And when you break God's law, they move in and they say, we're not guilty before God inasmuch as they sinned against the Lord. And that's where they get their ground to move in. How many see that? Hold up your hand. Now look with me in verse 12. Your mother, did we see the mother of harlots over in Revelation 17:5? This mother produces harlots, people who love and walk and talk and act like the world. Your mother will be greatly ashamed. She, this whore harlot church who gave you birth, will be humiliated. Behold, she will be the least of the nations, a wilderness, a parched land, and a desert. Why? Because of the indignation of the Lord. Now, we saw his instruments of indignation in Isaiah 13. He sent to destroy this land, right? Because of the indignation of the Lord, she will not be inhabited, but she will be what? I can't hear you. Completely desolate. Why will she be completely desolate? Because these powers of darkness will move in. The abomination that makes desolation will enter the holy place. Let the reader understand. We see it, you know. Everyone who passes by Babylon will be horrified and will hiss because of her wounds and sickness which is on her. Are you seeing that? The hedges down, the powers of darkness will bring the curse and sickness. Verse 14. Does that sound like Russia? Not hardly. Draw up your battle lines against Babylon on what? Every side. In other words, this is the army that's going to surround Jerusalem. And while they're looking for Russia to surround Israel, this army is already gathered around the whore harlot church today. It's in Luke 21. If I feel like I have time, I might run over there later. All you who bend the bow, shoot at her. Do not be sparing against with yours, for she has what? She sinned and the hedge is down, marked sinned against the Lord. Verse 15, raise up your battle cry against her on what? In other words, every side she's going to be surrounded. This is the army, this is the troops Job's talking about that surrounds the whole. This is the birds of prey that comes in on a spiritually dead body to devour and destroy them. She has given herself up, her pillars have fallen. Her walls, her whitewashed walls have been torn down. Why? For this is the vengeance of the Lord. It's a curse. Take vengeance on her. It's covenant. As she has done to others, there is your law right there. As she has done to others, so do to us. So do to her. Verse 20. In those days and at that time, declares the Lord, a search will be made for the iniquity of Israel. But there's going to be none for the sins of Judah. But there's not going to be found. Why? For I'm going to part out before the Lord. Verse 24. I set a snare for you, and you were caught, O Babylon, while you yourself were not aware you've been found and also seized. Why? Because you've engaged in conflict with the Lord. You know that the mindset on the flesh is hostility toward God and does not subject itself to the law of God. Amen? Verse 25. Whoever who's a friend of the world or walks and talks like the world, he makes himself an enemy of God. Now, James 4:4. Now, verse 25, the Lord has opened His army. That's His instruments of indignation. He lowers the hedge. We saw in Isaiah 13, He's brought forth the what? The weapons of His indignation. And that's who they are, which we saw last night in Zephaniah 1 and Isaiah 13. For it is a work of the Lord of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans. Now, verse 28. There is a sound of the fugitives and refugees from the land of Babylon to declare in Zion. They're leaving Babylon and they're going over to the harlot. They're leaving the harlot. They're going over into Zion, seeking the Lord, and they're going to declare over in Zion, the church, the vengeance of the Lord our God, vengeance for His temple which been profaned, they're going to declare the powers of darkness to destroy Him. And we also have from 1 Thessalonians 5 that you would know this. Amen? Okay, now, verse 29. Some and many. Can you imagine? You know, I'm doing this on television. Can you imagine the day that I'm going to get to this part right here and somebody just tune in to this part right here without knowing all the foundation and everything? That'll build your reputation, won't it? All right, verse 29, summon many against Babylon, all those who bend the bow and camp against her on every side. Now, if any of this is your first night, you're around here, but you're probably thinking, this is off the wall. You need to get some tapes. You can't afford them. We'll give them to you. And camp against her on every side. Now, this is the army around Jerusalem in Luke 21:20. It's around her on every side. Let there be no escape. Repay her according to her what? There you see it all over again. By her standard of measure to her. That's the law. Pay her according to her work. According to all that she has done, so do to her. Folks, let me tell you how that happens. Listen to me. To the degree that you practice any of these lawless deeds right here, to the same degree the powers of darkness can move in on you to build fortresses and strongholds and torment. There's no peace. It's hell for people who practice those deeds right there. It's hell on earth. Now, verse 29. It's vengeance for His temple. And when the last part of 29, repay her according to her work. According to all that she has done, so do to her. For she's become arrogant. You know, won't repent against the Lord. And against who? She's become arrogant against the Holy One of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in verse 32. And the arrogant one will stumble and fall with no one to raise her up, and I shall what? I can't hear you. He's going to set fire to his cities. There's your fire right there. It will what?
this fire is going to devour, which is the powers of darkness. They're going to devour all its environs. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the son of Israel are oppressed, and the son of Judah as well, and all who took them captive have helped them fast. They have refused to let them go. That's right. The Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. Have any idea who that is? He will vigorously plead their case. That's the one who's going to Zion so that he may bring rest. He's going to bring peace to the earth, to a remnant. But what here is going to be turmoil to the ones, inhabitants of Babylon. That's the reason he's saying, come out from their midst, that know not participate in their sins, so that you will not receive a reproach. Is that what we saw in Revelation 18? About the last days. Okay. Now look at verse 36. A sword, a curse against the oracle priests, and they're going to become fools. That's the ones that teach and preach the words. A sword against their mighty men who are strong after the flesh, and they will be shattered. In other words, destroyed. Now look there in verse 41. Behold, a people is coming from the north. That's them. And a nation and many kings all will be aroused from the remote parts of the earth. Can I tell you some of the kings' names? Pride. Greed. Approval of man. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's the kings of the demons. They come from the remote parts of the earth. All right, now. They seize the bow and the javelin. They are what? They're cruel, and they have what? No mercy. Their voice roars like the sea. I want you to see something right there. Yes, I've been talking about Luke 21. Turn with me. Hold your place and turn me over to Luke 21 real quick. Luke 21. Luke 21. Now, let me first ask you something right here. Are you anyone having any problem that there's an army around Jerusalem? Don't you stand up and take your Bible with you, will you? Just stand up right here, and let's just kind of stand up here just a minute. We haven't got over this part in Revelation yet, but I want you to see something. Is the army, are these what we see in the fire and the flood, isn't it around Jerusalem today? And becoming more so, that there's restrained, they're becoming more so around. Now, I want you to see this. Now, what the Lord warns you right here now is in Luke 21 in New Testament. Okay, now, let's just see what he's talking about here. Verse 20. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by what? You have any idea who those armies are? We already saw them. In Zephaniah, we saw it in Isaiah 13. And this army, these are the troops. Same troops, you know, that the hedge was lowered that got on Job. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that her what? I can't hear you. Or this army is going to be the abomination that makes desolation. It's going to come into the holy place. Is that what I told you? I can't hear you. Okay, now. At hand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are in the what? If you're in the midst of this city, you better depart. Is that right? And let not those who are in the country enter this city. Don't go into this false bride. Because these are days of what? It's a day of the Lord. It's a day of vengeance. And in order that all things which were written may be fulfilled. Woe to those with child and to those who nurse babes in those days. And they're still practicing like the babes in 1 Corinthians 3. Practicing strife and jealousy and all those things right there. Because that's how you're nursing babes that haven't gone in to possess the land. Because, these powers of darkness are right in through all of those sins. Woe to those who are child and to those who nurse babes in those days, for there will be great what? Distress upon the land, and they will fall. In other words, be destroyed by the edge of the sword. That sword is a curse we've been looking at. And will be led what? Captive, and that's exactly those who are led captive are going to be captive. This is what we see over in Revelation. They're going to be captive. They're going to be led captive into all the nation, and Jerusalem, the church, is going to be what? It's going to be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles and otherwise by the world and lost folks.
worldly-minded people. It's going to, the church is going to be trampled underfoot. Amen? Okay, now. Until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, and there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars upon the earth, dismay among the nation, there will be perplexity at the what? Uh-oh, there are the roaring of the seas. That's them. Men will fainting from fear. And when all this judgment's turned loose, folks, people are sleeping it right now. But they're going to waken up. They're going to start seeing it, and they're not going to understand it. And to the ones who don't come to this gospel, it's going to be too late. And men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things to come, which is coming upon the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then you're going to see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, that's the birth pangs. Straighten up and lift up your head, because your redemption is drawing nigh. Amen? Because you're going to see these birth pangs, and I'm going to tell you, when you see a church being destroyed, I'm going to tell you it's not going to last too long. And He's going to remove all the proud. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now let's go back over there where we were. We're back, we saw it just on 42. They cruelly have no mercy, and their voice roars like the sea. Do you remember that? Now we're in chapter 51. In chapter 51, verse 6. Now what does it say for us to do? You better flee from the midst of Babylon. That's exactly what we were seeing over in Luke 21. Flee from the midst of Babylon, and each of you save his life. Do not be destroyed in her what? Punishment. That's what we saw in Revelation 18. For this is the Lord's time of vengeance. He is going to remember every man to render a recompense to her. Now see, folks, I'm telling you that this has been sealed up, like as He told Daniel, until the last days. The Lord has had this exactly. How in the world are we going to know what's happening today unless we see it in the Word? You're seeing it. It's all over the Bible. It's had a veil over it. And the Lord is opening up and showing it to us today. And so the ones of wise of heart, and if you don't have a wise heart right here, it'll be stole from you. And you'll go out into worries of the world to seek my riches. You'll not turn to the Lord. You'll hear this, and you'll go out, and later on you'll decide, hey, won't you sit down? I forgot. I got excited about fleeing from the midst of Babylon. Do not be destroyed in her punishment, for this is the Lord's time of vengeance. He's going to render recompense to her. Amen? Now look there in verse 11. Sharpen the arrows, fill the quivers. The Lord has aroused the spirit of the kings of Medes, because His purpose is against Babylon, is to destroy it. For it is vengeance of the Lord. And why is this vengeance coming? It's vengeance for His temple. Amen? Verse 14. The Lord of hosts has sworn by Himself. You see this in Revelation and Joel here and Nahum. Surely I will fill you with a population like locusts, and they will cry out with shouts of victory over you. Now verse 20. He says, talking about the powers of darkness, His instruments of indignation, you are my war club, my weapons of war, and with you I will shatter nations. I'm going to destroy kingdoms, and with you I'll shatter the horse and the rider. With you I'll shatter the chariot and the rider. And with you, demons, I'll shatter man and woman. And with you, demon, I'll shatter old man and youth. And with you, demons, I'll shatter the young man and the virgin. And with you, demons, I'll shatter the shepherd and his flock. Verse 29. So the land quakes. What is that land quake? That is the spiritual earthquake that we've been talking about, that the powers of darkness, the flood and the fire, it comes against the foundations. Look at me, folks. If you're standing on the foundation right here, that does not conform you to godliness right there, you'll stand on that, and this flood will come on, these temptations to break the law and laws to come, and you'll be swept away and destroyed. But the ones who stand on the Word of God, who are walking in this walk of peace and resting place, are walking and overcoming, they're going to have the hedge and protection of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I want to tell you something.
The Lord is fixing to lead us into a lot of things we haven't known or understand. But I'm going to tell you what, after you have suffered a while, the God of all grace who called you is going to perfect you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to confirm you. And He's going to establish you. 1 Peter 5, 8-10. But don't make that 1 Peter 5:10. Now, don't make that some kind of easyism where you don't have to go ahead and deal and repent right now if you need to repent, you understand? Because you know God is love, and He just, well, we've heard this, God is love. You had your experience here. God is love. Yes, He's love. And that's the reason He wants you to walk in love, and you call this experience and go back worldly and ways of the world and taking the hands of Satan and going back that way, you're going to be destroyed. But I'm going to tell you something. That faithful He had called you, He'll bring it to pass. He is a God of grace, and He is not there to zap you out. He loves you. And you'll find out how much love He loves you when you get in the midst of obedience. When you start getting blessed coming and going. Verse 29. So here's the earthquake. The land quakes. And it rises. It's a spiritual earthquake. For the purpose of the Lord against Babylon stand. He's making the land of Babylon a what? I can't hear you. He's making it a desolation. And how is He making it a desolation? By letting the abomination, His instruments of indignation, come along and make it a desolation. They make it without no fruit, water, word. I mean, a deluding influence just moves in and they're carried away. A desolation without inhabitant or spiritual inhabitant. The mighty men of Babylon have ceased fighting. They stay in their strongholds. Their strength is exhausted. Do you remember us reading over there? You better pray that you have strength in those last days. You better pray that you'll be, you better pray that you stay in a hedge and protection of God against this judgment that's coming. And I'm going to tell you, it's all right for you to fear God. All these things that's been come out of our ancestors and our fathers who didn't understand the powers of darkness or the way of God has been passed on to us. Don't try to make some of these ways work when you see something different in the Word of God. How your Bible says to fear God. And I want you to know it's a kind of fear where you can love Him like you never thought it's possible to love anything in your life. Now that's the kind of fear it is. You fear, one of the fear is, yet you fear the judgment of God, but you fear you're going to be conscious of what you say and do because you don't want to break judgment. You don't want to say anything that's going to hurt Him or break your fellowship with Him in any way for any time. You don't want to do it. And that's what He's leading us to do. It's a love affair. Amen? And we don't have to go around talking about what the devil's doing. So their strength is exhausted. And the men, is talking about, they become like what? Women, just weak. Their dwelling places, where's the dwelling place at, folks? I can't hear you. The dwelling place is this temple that we live in right here. This is a dwelling place that's set on fire. You see, it's burned down. Did we see in Isaiah 42, it burns them, and they don't even notice, they don't even pay attention, they've been destroyed. Amen? Huh? Shake your head. And the bars of their gate is broken. There's no protection for them. Now, well, I had something in Revelation, but I'm not going to turn over it now. Let's go to verse 38. They will roar together like young lions. They'll roar like young lions, be like the powers of darkness. When they become heated up, I'll serve them their banquet. I'm going to make them drunk. They're going to stagger and stumble in spiritual darkness that they become jubilant. And they're going to sleep a perpetual sleep. And they're not going to wake up, declares the Lord. They're not going to wake up and even know the difference because they're drawing near to God with their heart, mouth, and their hearts far from Him. Verse 42. Now, here it is. Are you ready? Verse 42. The sea has come up over Babylon. She has been engulfed with its tumultuous waves. That's the sea of violence. That's the sea and the flood of the powers of darkness that swept her away. There's no hedge there to cross on dry land for her. Amen? Do you remember what did we see over there? If you're a stumble amok, it better for a stone be tied around your man. And just so shall Babylon be. She will sink. she'll be thrown like a millstone. The big angel, the great angel, throwed the millstone in, so shall Babylon sink in a sea. And it's going to be a sea of violence. You remember seeing that? Amen? Okay, that's it right there. Now, there's other places there. But I want you to be aware of that. And so, verse 45, it says, come forth from her midst, verse 45, my people, and each of you save yourself from the fierce anger of the Lord. Verse 50, you have escaped the sword, the curse, depart. Do not stay. Remember the Lord from where? Get away from there and start remembering the Lord from afar. Let Jerusalem come to mind, the church. We are ashamed because we've heard the reproach. Disgrace has covered our faces. Why? Aliens, the powers of darkness, have entered the holy places of the Lord's house. Where are the holy places at, folks? These are the temple. Who are the aliens? That's the powers of darkness that come in the temple. And that disgrace has covered her face because the powers of darkness have moved in and take over. Amen. Okay. Now, verse 53. Though Babylon should ascend to the heavens, and though she should fortify her lofty strongholds, from me, the Lord says, circle from me, destroyers will come from her, come to her, declares the Lord, and they're going to enter their holy places too. Verse 54. The sound of an outcry from Babylon. Did you ever wonder who's saying all this right here? Do you wonder who's really speaking all these things? What if you was to find out that Jesus has been saying all these things and I'm speaking to you right here? Wouldn't that be interesting? Well, he might be. Let's go on. The sound of an outcry from Babylon and of great destruction from the land of Chaldeans, for the Lord is going to destroy Babylon. He'll make her loud noises vanish from her, and their waves, there's the waves right there, we saw, will roar like many waters. That's the roaring of the seas. The tumult of their voices come forth. Verse 56. For the destroyer is coming against her. That's her. The ones that enter the temple against Babylon. And her mighty men will be captured. Their bows are shattered. For the Lord is a God of recompense. He will fully repay. That's the fury of fire vengeance. And I will make their princes, that's their leaders, who are being lords over God's heritage, I'll make them and her wise men, who wise after the flesh, they're going to be drunk. They're going to stagger and stumble in spiritual darkness. That's what we saw in Revelation. Her governors, her perfects, her mighty men, and they shall sleep a perpetual sleep, and they're not going to wake up. They're not going to know what the truth is. Declares who? I can't hear you. Who might he be? That's the one who's saying all these. Declares the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the name is the Lord of hosts. Now listen. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the broad wall, this is a whitewashed wall. If you want to see it, you turn to Ezekiel 13 and you could just see this whitewashed wall of Babylon will be completely raised. Her high gates will be, here comes the fire. It's not going to bother the paint or the plaster. It's a spiritual fire. It's going to destroy it. So the people will toil for nothing, and the nations are going to be exhausted only for fire. Now, verse 63, and it'll come about as soon as you finish reading this scroll, this is what Jesus says, you're going to tie a stone to it and throw it into the middle of the Euphrates and say, just so shall Babylon sink down in this judgment with the powers of darkness and violence, and she's not going to rise again because of the calamity I'm going to bring upon her. And they'll become exhausted, and you might add one word to that, destroyed. Exhausted, weak, and destroyed with sickness, disease, and all these judgment and torment. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. May I ask you something? How is your fear of God tonight? Drive you to Jesus. Does it cause you to want to obey the Lord? Sounds like the Spirit of God, doesn't it? This is how you learn the fear of God. You learn it because this is what Malachi and all the places over in Revelation is talking about. If we have time to get over, I want to show you this in Revelation. It's the fear. Because when we start seeing some of these things, Revelation doesn't all of a sudden become all that complicated. You hear what I'm saying? Now turn with me to Revelation 12. Revelation 12, please. And you know something? Now listen. Isn't it an interesting thing to get over and start teaching some things in the Bible where, and someone's teaching you know only he, that you know he understands what it's in, but you can't have any understanding about it. Well, what kind of teaching is that? You're supposed to understand it too, right? When you see it in the Bible, if it's the Spirit of God, you're supposed to understand it too. Is that right?
This concludes tape number one. Please fast forward this tape to return it to the beginning. Please proceed to tape number two, where this message continues.